I'm the sports professor Rick Caro with Beyond the Scoreboard, the inside look at the trillion-dollar sports business from a legal, marketing, endorsement, deal-making perspective for this week, with special emphasis on what it means to the New England sports fan. If you want the entire text list, see it at csnne.com. And also subscribe to the iTunes feed. Look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, and Audio Boom. Let's get started. First of all, the NFL. On the heels of the NFL Combine in Indy, an economic impact study from the league's international series game in Mexico City revealed a big increase in the city's GDP, nearly 3,000 jobs, with the Texans and Raiders supporting them, 9,500 international fans, 21,500 fans traveling from other parts of Mexico to get into the action. The numbers come as great news for the NFL, expanding its international footprint in all directions. And here's my take. Most recent news about Mexico, you know this, it hadn't been good. However, the combo of the WGC World Championship and the long-term interest for the NFL in Mexico, welcome news for our southern neighbor. And as it relates to the Patriots, the brand transcends. It is the biggest deal, the biggest team, the biggest legacy. We all know that. And the NFL asks the Patriots to play in London. They ask the Patriots to be a brand ambassador all over. And Mexico is no exception. Well, look at the draft and look at the combine. When you look at the draft numbers, the first outdoor draft being hyped weeks ahead of the selection show, Philly expecting 200,000 football fans to show up at the outdoor theater being constructed in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. The indoor theater only seats about 3,000 and limited, yet the event should bring hundreds of thousands to the city center. And to keep fans engaged, the standing room on the parkway will be transformed into a festival size of 25 football fields, open free to the public before and during the draft. The cost is about $25 million. But the economic impact really significant, and the cost covered by the NFL. And my take is this. The draft joins the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl as the NFL's rotating mega events, each year expected to outdraw, out-hustle, outperform the predecessor, leading to more leverage, better public support, and more choices for NFL public-private partnerships. My take on New England is this. The draft may be another one of those opportunities to bring the draft to Boston Common, to downtown Boston, to Gillette Stadium. Who knows? But clearly, the Patriots being a very important brand in the NFL, the Combine not going anywhere for the next 5 years, the Pro Bowl probably too cold for an outdoor stadium, and the Super Bowl not played in outdoor stadiums now anyway, but the draft, one of the big deals, and the economic impact to follow. But how about stadiums in other locations around the NFL, like Oakland? Well, the Oakland Raiders clearly looking for that new home, and the company called the Fortress Investment Group not giving up on its goal to keep the Raiders in Oakland. But Mayor Libby Schaaf does give a presentation to the NFL committee on this issue just now and says, we want to get a deal done, short on specifics, long on excitement. The other issue is possibly the key to Vegas. Bank of America just makes a commitment. They have more dollars available to put the final pieces of the puzzle together for Vegas. And my take is this. The Vegas deal has a much stronger financial foundation. Public support and NFL Raiders equity. What Oakland has is a tradition of fan support and the presumption that the process be given one last best chance to work. For New England fans, it might seem indirect, but as goes the lowest value team in the NFL, so goes the rest of the NFL. It's no stronger than its weakest link. So even if the Patriots are up there with teams like the Cowboys as far as value, the Raiders need to get their situation solved and quickly, or it'll affect everybody. Let's shift to hockey, but stay in Vegas. The Vegas Golden Knights, officially an NFL team, according to the Vegas Review-Journal, owner Bill Foley made the third and final $500 million expansion payment on behalf of the franchise. The most extensive transaction he's ever done, he said, and he's made $5 billion deals. He said even my wife had to sign 20 documents. Other NHL team owners and commissioner Gary Bettman quick to congratulate Foley on officially joining the league, the 31st expansion franchise. General manager George McPhee trying to make magic in the desert, and he's also trying to figure out how to put a competitive team on the ice as the deal gets done and see how we can move forward with it. And here's my take on Vegas. They went from being radioactive as a franchise location to the home of one and maybe two in the not-too-distant future. Fan orientation, significant public money, and tourism infrastructure all add to the possibility for success. As it impacts the Bruins, maybe a couple of fairly easy wins next year, but more importantly, that $500 million expansion tag raises the values for everybody in the NHL. And even though the 31 teams might cause some scheduling difficulty, it is more than countered by the fact that the NHL continues to value its assets more and more and more every day. With the goal of turning their arena into a 12-month destination, the Blackhawks unveil the newly renovated east side of the United Center. 190,000 square feet for a new atrium. The premier Chicago franchise engages fans with new restaurant centers, other things, and nice bit of extra revenue for teams. Facility renovations all over the country enter new phases, and the Blackhawks are one. Lease renegotiations, financial creativity, high-tech tweaks, new space for merchandise and concessions, obviously better for the fans as well. And so when you look at the NHL, the Warrior Ice Arena and the TD Garden, clearly important for Boston fans, but it also gives a model for other cities to do some really good things with over time. Let's shift to March Madness, an important issue for everybody. Pizza Hut, for example, stepping up its game with high-top sneakers allowing their wearers to order pizza with the push of a button. Unbelievable. Pizza Hut handing out 64 pairs of their top pie tops in order to honor the 64 teams that actually compete in March Madness. Bluetooth enabled, making ordering pizza as easy as it can be. They also have Grant Hill playing basketball in the shoes before sitting down, pressing the button on the tongue of the shoes, and having two topping pizza delivered moments after. Pizza Hut VP Media and Advertising David Daniels said, "We're planning to feature the pie tops with on-air talent. They haven't announced yet which people will wear and interact with the shoes during the broadcast. I can't wait." Here's my take. Never too early for basketball promotion, especially with ongoing streaming, constant hype and promotion, and the inevitable appeal to young demographics. And speaking of young demographics and college basketball, UCLA guard Lonzo Ball made a bold prediction. More importantly, his father did. His son will be the first player drafted with his own brand, he says. In a radio interview that the UCLA star doesn't sign with Adidas, Nike, or Under Armour, whoever, he then says, "I'll sign the Big Baller brand." The Triple B brand, already an active apparel company, started by the Ball family, the brand that Lonzo could be touting upon draft day later this year. While the move is still up in the air, LeVar boldly stated his view on the situation. "I'm not looking for any endorsement deal. I'm looking for a marketing and distribution deal." LeVar received a great deal of criticism this past season for making outlandish and egotistical comments on behalf of his son, such as "Lonzo is better than Steph Curry," "Lonzo would only play for the Lakers," and on and on and on. In a year of outlandish comments, here's my take. This is the time of year for that hype, family or otherwise. Basketball players, NCAA, hype, agents, yeah, it's that time. But the astronomical NBA salary cap increase this next year will give this year's rookie class a significant bounty. Is Ball falling to the Celtics? Probably not. But the Celtics don't need somebody like Ball to come out of the draft. They're cultivating their own superstars and the branding that goes along with it. Isaiah Thomas and others. Let's shift to Major League Baseball ahead of opening day. It's not that far away. Online streaming becomes an increasingly popular way to watch TV. Google entered the race to win over sports fans. YouTube, whose parent company is Google, now offering a web TV service packaging over 40 broadcasts and cable channels for $35 a month. They're set to offer an expansive list of channels as well. All of the NBCs, all of the other big boys. A start date not been announced, but YouTube did confirm it'll roll out the service first in markets where it secured rights. And my take is that the next round of sports rights bids broadly should be one for the ages. The traditionalists, the major networks, versus the newcomers, YouTube and Google, Facebook, Amazon, and the like. The impact, more money for teams like the Red Sox, leagues, and players. By the way, Major League Baseball Advanced Media entering into its 17th year, the Red Sox, a staple with it, Bob Bowman, the head of that organization, should be given major kudos. He started with 30 teams squabbling over internet rights, and now he has a public company which would be valued at over $6 billion on the open market. And teams like the Red Sox get to enhance the brand all over the world by virtue of the tie-in to the internet with their 29 partners. Good for them. Speaking of other issues of baseball, the Cubs now submitting a bid to host the 2020 All-Star Game. Business operations head Crane Kenny said the team been in contact with Rahm Emanuel's office, the mayor of Chicago, to fulfill the requirements. The last time the game was held at Wrigley was 1990, so the team hopes its on-field successes and ballpark renovations will lure the game back to the Windy City. My take is this. Baseball's major event leverage comes from the All-Star Game annually. They award new ballparks, renovations, civic accomplishments, and in the Cubs' case, the end of monumental frustration. The game goes to South Florida this year amid rumors of the impending Marlins sale. And for Red Sox fans, they had an All-Star Game more recently than the Cubs, clearly. But that All-Star Game was a winner, an amazing success. And if their criteria is on-field success, renovation, community support, and the like, don't forget the Red Sox. They should get an All-Star Game and the economic impact from it, hands down. Finally, let's talk about soccer and international sports. First, the MLS. Off the field, on the field, the 2017 Open has been bookended by two new expansion franchises. Atlanta United, the newcomer, sold more than 30,000 season tickets, millennials and Hispanic fans alike. 8 games at Georgia Tech's Bobby Dodd Stadium initially, before moving into Mercedes-Benz Stadium later this summer. And in Minneapolis, Minnesota United, confident the club's first home match as an MLS franchise, will exceed 30,000 tickets at TCF Bank Stadium. Orlando City FC gets the new stadium they built with a team-imposed limit of 12,000 season ticket sales, and they've continued to move into the top level of support. MLS Don Garber watched Real Salt Lake draw about 20,000 fans for its match against Toronto FC. And an expansion franchise application in San Diego includes Landon Donovan as a new member of its ownership group. San Diego could well be a test case. Is soccer chipping away at the NFL's American sports dominance? Well, my take for Boston fans is this. The revolution in their existing stadium, acceptable, but Robert Kraft continues to look for a new home. Take a look at all of the new openings. Minnesota, obviously, Orlando, obviously. New facilities, higher support, significant public-private partnership. Boston, a clear soccer haven, needs the similar kind of process. But follow the big boys from international soccer. We're talking sleeve sponsorships. Up to $12.4 million more for sponsorships valued with sponsor dollars and logos on the sleeves. It's one-fifth of a main kit sponsor, but it means the clubs, such as Manchester United, receiving about $59 million a year from Chevy to be on its shirts, could see a further $11 million invested in the clubs. Contract stipulations today see main kit sponsors for a couple of the EPL teams mean a few notable clubs will not be able to participate in that deal for next season because of those contracts, but there's more money, so certainly they're going to find it. My take is this. Purists beware. The EPL looking more like NASCAR every day. Why wouldn't it? Especially if an unused square inch of clothing could now command over $12 million annually for each club. Don't look for the same kind of dollars in the MLS, but certainly for Boston soccer fans, look for another kind of sponsor displayed on uniforms sometime soon. Finally, the selection of the Olympic Games, an issue that impacted Bostonians a couple of years ago. LA is still in the running for 2024 selection, hiring international firm Weber Shandwick. They helped support winning Olympic bids for the 2022 Beijing Games, Tokyo, and Sochi. And unlike past projects, the firm doesn't have to roll out the domestic campaign in LA to win over public support. 88% of the city already supports the bid. Budapest pulls out. Paris and in LA look like they're coming down to the wire. And here's my take. We all know the Olympic selection process, an inherently political issue, and PR message will focus on legacy, infrastructure support, and the expectation that the U.S. should participate in the summer games sooner than later. Look for drama in the boardroom between now and the end of the summer. And for Bostonians, Marty Walsh's decision as the mayor to pull out, is it a great decision because expense that doesn't have to be made? Or is it a decision that people would regret next summer if LA gets the 2024 games? We'll just have to see. Well, that's our pretty interesting and diverse list for the week, based on all sports and the impact on New England football fans, basketball fans, baseball, hockey, soccer, and international events. Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, iTunes feed, and look for us on CSNNE and join us next week when we go Beyond the Scoreboard.